Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. All of us in studio here on ESPN 97.5 after a huge, huge weekend. What was your favorite play? What was your favorite play in the Pro Bowl, Lance? Give me your...
My favorite play in the Pro Bowl was the under.
It hit the under. What about...
Is that what you meant by favorite play?
What about... No.
Oh, like a actual snap that took place?
So I got a call from my buddy last night. He goes, what the bleep? Why didn't we load up on the AFC with Patrick Mahomes? With Patrick Mahomes on that side. And it's a street game. That's all it is. It's a street game. And Pat, and who's the best street player in maybe the history of the NFL?
Johnny Manziel?
I'm going to take Pat Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is a street game, right? What did he leave him on? 2 touchdown drives or whatever? I don't even know. I didn't watch a second of it. Did you watch any of it?
No. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl. Over the last 10 years, I've probably seen snaps from the Pro Bowl one time, and that was when we were at, like, Pappas Burger with the kids, and it was on TV, and my kids were all into it. You know, anything that's an all-star setting, my kids are... I get a call from my son Mason yesterday. I'm at Snacks' basketball practice, and Mason's like, the Rockets have a dunk contest, 3-point shootout coming up. And I'm like, wait, what? February 23rd, I want to go to it. Like, I don't know what exactly you're talking about, but I'll find out. I'll find out what it is that you're talking about. Hopefully you're not talking about a hoop it up thing, because you're not like a 3-on-3 street tournament or something, because you're definitely not going to that.
No.
Unless you can play.
Can they play? Okay. That's the question.
To me, getting chosen to the Pro Bowl feels like, for players, it's like when your really good friend calls you and says, hey, I got to move. I hate to ask you this, but I got to move. Can you come help me move? And you feel obligated, or your brother does or somebody like that. And you've been like, oh, yeah, I'll go. I'll come. And you're the whole time you're just thinking, oh, my God, I don't want to go move. It's the same thing as being in a Pro Bowl, I would think. Orlando's not great. Hawaii is the spot. Orlando?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a pain in the ass for a lot of guys, and I'm not sure they all were. And not only that, you know, you get sent down and whatnot, and then you got to bring your whole family. So it actually ends up costing you because everybody wants to go. So, you know, I don't know. It's the worst of.
I think the Pro Bowl.
It's
will
the
eventually,
worst of all of the All Star.
It's going to eventually go away.
It probably will.
The game will go away. They'll do stuff like dodgeball and skills contest,
or a 7-on-7.
And it will be it will be a gathering. Well, I don't know if they're going to do anything that can get anyone hurt, but I do think they're going to eventually. The game will eventually go because no one takes the game seriously.
But can't you get hurt in basketball too? Can't you get hurt? You can get hurt doing anything. I mean, if it's flag football, 7-on-7.
Well, we saw Robert Edwards.
Then you're too soft. You know what? Then you're bubblegum.
Remember when Robert Edwards'
career
was?
You're pink and soft. You're bubblegum.
Well, you remember when his career was ended in a flag football game?
Yeah, but that was on the beach. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in sand.
In sand.
Smart.
So don't play on sand.
Smart.
Okay. That's not what we're doing here. Deshaun was awesome, 7-15 for 128 yards, a touchdown and an interception. He got robbed of the MVP award because Pat Mahomes got it, 7-14, 156 yards, and a touchdown, no interceptions. I don't care. Deshaun was robbed, 26-7. You had the under. What was the under over?
I was kidding. That would be my play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not. It was definitely under.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was huge. How about Chris Paul being back?
That's the huge story. Well, you know what? It's not?
Nope. Justin Rose holding off Adam Scott.
That's not
the last
story.
Hole to win.
That's not the huge story.
Yes, to win the Farmers. Hey, okay.
My children were already like, the Rockets are just terrible with Chris Paul back. They're losing by 7. And I'm like, stop saying they're terrible with Chris Paul back. Now, I'll say this. I thought Chris Paul actually was in better shape than I expected him to be. Like, and he works. It's not like Chris Paul gets out of shape. Chris is a worker. But Chris Paul, he ended up playing, I think he got 25, 26 minutes in. He had his moments. He had his flashes. He missed a month. He missed a full month. He missed 17 games. He missed one full month.
25 minutes is about what Chris Paul... That's about what he should play. And I know he's going to get more as we go on, but I really, really wish that they would keep him between 25 and 30 per game.
I think that's what you're going to see.
Well, except when it's a close game and you got to have him in there.
So Austin Rivers isn't shooting.
They
well,
just
though.
Look a lot more efficient when James isn't in there. When James got to rest.
Oh, it's like. Real basketball.
Yeah, it's like real basketball. It's like there's guys that actually can play basketball on the floor.
Nothing against James, but this is now, how many points are we up to? We were up to 289 straight points. 298 without an assist.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ISO ball.
Right.
That's a lot of ISO ball.
Yeah, I didn't see last night. Did how many of his points of his 40 were assisted?
Probably zero.
No, but there must have been one.
Why?
Chris Paul is back. He can throw him the ball and he can score. There must have been
one. Chance.
There must have been one that led to it.
Must have seemed strong.
Well, and you know what? And Orlando's isn't a horrible team. It's not a horrible team.
No.
And for some reason they play the Rockets really, really tough. But that they fell behind what? And the Rockets came back and won by 13 in the fourth quarter. They turned it on. Listen, this is when Capella comes back, this Rockets team is going to, I think it actually.
This is turning into a pretty interesting team. Kenneth Faried, holy crap.
What an addition.
I mean, what, and you know, Daryl always said, we consider the buyout is the new free agency for us. We're not going to panic in free agency. Because I remember either I asked him this question or he said it somewhere. His whole thing about free agency was that, or it was about trade deadline, and he believes that buyout is the trade deadline now. You don't have to give players up to be involved in a trade deadline.
Well, and Kenneth Faried can still play.
Dude, he's re-energized.
Yeah.
He's played great for the Rockets
really,
up to this point.
He's played.
He's been unbelievable for the Rockets.
You know, and the Austin Rivers pickup was a really, really
nice
pickup.
Austin's
as well.
Not shooting well right now, but when you look at the bench now versus what it looked like when it was just like, who's on the court? What?
But he still plays hard. And, you know, regardless of the way that he's shooting right now, he still is plus +8. You know, he was plus +8. And one of the reasons that they were able to come back was when James went down and sat in third, fourth quarter there at the end, that group did a really nice job. And Austin Rivers was part of it, even though he didn't shoot all that great. He was 0-for-4 from 3.
Well, with everything being equal now, if everything's all back and healthy, now you've got
When Capella comes back, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Now your rotation looks like off the bench, Eric Gordon, Crazy Gerald, who you don't have to rely on Crazy Gerald as heavily. You are going to have Austin Rivers. So you got three guys who are backcourt and swing players who are going to be able to. Ennis, I mean, it would still be nice to have a little bit more in the front court.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
Nene, if he's alive.
With Fareed and Capella, though, you've got three guys that don't shoot threes. Do you think that's a combination that D'Antoni's going to go for?
That's a good question.
Two guys that don't shoot threes, in Capella and Fareed.
I think we could see him change. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. The world seems completely different now that James Harden shoots 30 times a game. So I don't even know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're less likely to see James do a bunch of driving dish stuff.
But again, I think that's – I don't know that that doesn't lessen. I'm pretty sure it will once Chris Paul gets his legs under him, once Chris Paul, you know, starts to assimilate back into the offense. You know, it just seemed like he was facilitating last night, even though he did a nice job. He didn't do anything for the first whatever minutes, and then at the end he started to come on and play like Chris Paul again. When Chris Paul is back assimilated into the offense, it always takes a little bit of time. I think James is going to shoot a little bit less. I do. I don't think he's going to have to. With Gordon on the floor and PJ on the floor and Capella on the floor, Paul on the floor, I think he will get back to, you know, taking fewer than... Hey, it was already fewer last night. Only 12 threes as opposed to 17 per game, which he's been taking.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think it's going to start to get to more team ball and less ISO. Anyway, we hope so. 40, 11, and 6 last night.
Well, at some point you have to. While I love watching James in scoring mode, and it's fun, it's a special time, to win a championship, you can't do it.
No.
You can't do it because now you're 100% relying upon one guy, and one guy has to play well, because if he doesn't, you have zero chance of winning. And you don't want to be in that position, and James doesn't want to be in that position. So at some point, the whole scoring chase, the chase for a certain number, to average a certain number, that's going to have to give way to a more sustainable brand of basketball that doesn't require – so I hope you're right – that doesn't require James to play at an elite level every night to win. You want him to play an elite level. By the way, do you like the fact that James has had that little teardrop? That's a nice little move because now he doesn't have to get all the way to the rim to finish. I don't know where that came from. It's a good sign that he's adding to his game as he's getting older. But that teardrop is pretty brand new. And it used to be there was no – that's his version of a mid-range shot. You know, but it's a halfway paint shot as opposed – it's just nice that he added another pitch. That's all. He added another pitch so you don't know where the ball is, where shot is coming from. It can be right at the rim.
And it's also, the other thing that's nice about it is he doesn't get clobbered in the lane.
Right.
You know, and he's hitting the floor all the time. You know, yeah, just pull up and drop that little teardrop down. It's like Chris Paul last night. In the critical time last night, Chris Paul pulls up at the free throw line and knocks down his mid-range jumper.
Yep.
And it was back. Nice to see that again. Awfully nice to see that. So, you know, yeah, that shot, that's another shot where James isn't going to. Because one of the biggest concerns is James getting hurt. I mean, because he plays so hard, because he does drive the lane, because he does get knocked around, he does get fouled how many times a game, how much can he take that? I mean, he's built great. I mean, he's built to last. However, nobody can withstand that night in and night out the way that he does it.
That last shot we saw, that was unbelievable. At the end of the game where he pretty much iced it with the little
elbow
dive down, and then it was a back step to the free throw line extended, well, to the elbow. That's, you never see that from James. That's mm-hmm. not a place where he shoots from.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't shoot from there. And to take a good shot in rhythm like that, that was a smart shot that didn't have anything to do with has to be at this quadrant of the court and all that. It was fun to see him like shoot where he, there's another game still, right? Yeah, that's another game. So James is averaging 44.1 points per game in January. That's ahead of Kobe. He'll finish ahead of Kobe, who averaged 43.4 in 2006. He won't catch Wilt the year Wilt had a 100-point game, 51.8. But since the merger, ABA-NBA, right now James is, once again, over 36 points per game. Only Jordan has done that in NBA history. So he's still in that rarefied air. But it will be interesting to see how he plays and how the ball distribution looks like, what it looks like with you know, Ray Ralston told us the other day, I don't think it's going to be a lot different. He goes, this is, you know, Chris Paul has to get in line with what James is doing. I'm sorry, Rafer. Maybe you didn't realize Chris Paul's a $40 million man.
Yeah.
Maybe you know his paycheck's got,
put some respect,
got a four at the front of it.
All right, well, when we come back, let's talk about Justin Rose and get to the top story. Justin Rose beating out Adam Scott.
Do we have to do that?
That's your boy.
Aren't you a gatekeeper of this stuff?
That's your boy. You talk to him.
Do you want your highest ratings? Then let's talk golf.
Dale, okay? Get your man.
Do you want to be the number one show? Do you want to be the number one show like the Blitz or not?
But we ascended.
Do you two just want to be also Rans?
No, but we ascended to the number one show.
Talk about Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
Didn't they don't talk about
number one golfer in the world.
Didn't we ascend to the number one show on this station?
Yes.
Yeah, but you want to stay there?
We didn't talk Justin Rose.
We didn't talk any golf.
No.
That last
month. We did.
No, we
didn't. Did I not lead with it? How many times?
Actually, zero, I think.
I think that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No, I actually think you didn't lead with golf once.
Justin Rose, number one player in the world. Everybody's clamoring to watch Justin Rose play.
How many people knew he was the number one player?
Oh, did you see the ratings yesterday?
Actually, no.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Let's talk about mybookie.ag. Oh, did you bet on Justin Rose? Because you could have gotten pretty good odds. What I'm talking about is bet Justin Rose. He's the number one player in the world. You want to bet on the big game, which is coming? Oh, I guess I could say Super Bowl. I don't give a care. I don't care. You think Super Bowl's going to sue me? Whatever. Super Bowl. You want to bet on it? Go ahead. All you got to
do
is
tell Roger, Lance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You think Roger might be monitoring this show the way I talk ugly things about him. What I need you to do is go to mybookie.ag. They'll match half of your initial deposit. Okay, and then you can start to play, and you can use that money. And okay, do you want to use your free money? Do you want to use your regular money? Go ahead. We got free bets for you. That's what they do. So all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. You want to bet on the big game? And all of the props. You won't find more props anywhere in the world. And it's just, you won't find more bets. They will let you put money on just about anything in the world at mybookie.ag. It's incredible. It's like you can bet on who's going to be the next pope at mybookie.ag. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and half of your initial deposit, absolutely free, right now at mybookie.ag. I remembered each
flash, it's time. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Kenneth Faried apparently did assist James on one of his baskets. So the streak is over. Thank God, because it's such a thing. Not that the way that they played changed any, but I do believe, I don't know why. Maybe Rafer's right. I don't know. Rafer Alston told us it's not going to change. Why would it change? Well, they were 12-5 without Chris Paul. Now, they were pretty much a .500 team for the last couple of weeks. But now they won three straight. Chris Paul, it just looks different, doesn't it?
It does. It looks like there's more. You know what it feels like? It feels like when dad is taking care of the kids, mom's away, and things are getting done. It's just not as much order. It's a little more chaos. Like James scoring 60 is like kids staying up until 11 o'clock on a school night watching TV. What are we having for dinner, Dad? Y'all haven't eaten yet? No, it's 8 o'clock. You're the dad. You already got yourself something to eat.
Order a pizza.
Order a pizza. Yeah. James is like his 50s and 60s, like order a pizza late at night. Now Chris Paul gets in and there's rules again. And
Mom's back.
Yeah. It's like mom's back. Now we've got bedtimes. Yeah. Now things are supposed to go on time. We got to brush our teeth again. Like, you know, there's some rules now.
Yeah, it's rules. But if you're the kids and you think to yourself, at some point mom's going to go on another bender and be out for a couple weeks, and then we get to do whatever we want again.
You tell us what to do all the time, Mom, and then you're gone.
You're always gone.
You're always gone, Mom.
You missed my recital.
Wait a minute.
You missed graduation.
Wait a minute. Is mom on a bender or is she working? Okay.
No.
And she has to work some nights.
Chris, I just know mom's going to miss 20 games a year.
What type of work is she doing?
What kind of... She works... She's
at night.
Well, she's a paralegal, and they've got a big
she's
trial.
She's still missing. She's
now, mom's
still
not
missing.
On a bender.
Mom's on a bender. You can't find her. You don't know where she is. You don't know when she's going
to
come back.
Maybe mom had to go.
And she always misses your most important events in your life.
This trial is really, really big. Okay.
Maybe she's in South Carolina trying to get certified for something. No. She's got to be there.
Mom's
for
maybe she's defending Moses
trips.
Malone Jr.
Mom wouldn't do that.
Well, maybe she's on the other side.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Mom is missing my graduation.
I don't even like joking about that.
Mom is missing recitals. Every time I turn around in my most important times in my life, mom isn't there.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's Chris Paul. That's Chris Paul.
Hey, mom's never there for
she's
your
never
birthday?
Never there at the most important times. We always think she's going to be there because she was there for like... 2 straight weeks when it was just school, but when you know when I got a recital to get done, she's not there.
You missed my graduation.
Are you going to be there this year? Game 6, Game 7? Absolutely, I would never miss that for the world.
Wait a minute, wasn't it?
Mom wants to be there, but if they call mom off and she's got to go on a trip again,
just last week weren't the Texans the dad that never shows up for the birthday?
Yes,
well, Houston sports fan.
Well, there's different things. Yeah.
Wow. And now Chris Paul's the mom that's not there.
Mom's, but dad's not there because he's being kind of a bum.
Well,
like he's just let you down. Mom gets called away.
He said mom's on the bender.
I think mom gets called away to work, and there's nothing she can do about it. And it's just, but at least dad's still there. This is like, I don't even know if the Texans have a mom.
Yeah, no. Yeah, mom's
well, their mom is okay, but mom's not much of an earner. Mom is just like, she's been devastated, and she's never gotten over it.
She lays in bed all day?
Yeah. It's just.
She can't get up.
Dad's like, I got you a bike. You did? Where is it? I'm putting it together, but when I get done with it, I'm bringing it over. And it never comes over. He never put it together. Because it turns out dad never actually got you that bike.
Right. Dad, stay out of mom's room, too.
And you know what you're the Astros are?
You're not going in there.
Astros got remarried back in like 2011. Isn't that when Jim Crane came in? Or was it earlier than that?
No. Yeah, in that
it was a little earlier. Yeah, 2010.
10, whatever.
Astros got remarried. They upgraded.
Mm.
And it's been going good ever since then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Upgraded to a fine mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she show and they both and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they show up at everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a real family. They eat dinner. They eat dinner at 6 every night.
Now, one time they got hacked and it was caused some issues. I mean, there was a little bumpy at the beginning of the relationship as they tried to figure things out, mom and dad.
Well, it was the Brady Bunch. They didn't know. You know, there was a blended
family.
Bringing everybody back together. It wasn't easy, okay?
Yeah. Too bad Bo Porter was like,
and then Jeff Leno's
like
old
the a try on dad.
Jeff Leno's like, old girlfriend or old wife tried to hack into his computer system.
Right, tried to hack his Facebook.
Yeah,
Joe Porter was just there to stabilize and make sure the kids didn't freak out. But we all knew he wasn't the permanent solution. He wasn't going to be permanent dad.
No,
he was
Bo
like,
Porter was a short term babysitter. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
AJ brought in AJ in. Mm-mm. Yeah, what a
Brad thing. Mills. Remember when Brad Mills was like, ugh, I hate this dad. He's not. He just constantly makes us wake up at 6:30 and do push ups.
Shut up, Steve. You're not my real dad.
Shut up, Brad.
We all knew when Bo Porter was brought in, we know, okay, this guy's not going to be around here for long.
How do we know that?
We knew.
We know.
The family was all misshapen.
Yeah.
You had drunk kids lying all over the place.
That was just
Porter was just there to make sure they didn't burn the house down.
Those were foster kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we brought in all the
you knew they weren't staying.
When we brought in the good kids,
Those are like, it's not even that. Those are like foster, those are like rescue dogs. Like, oh, here's a rescue dog. Here's a rescue. What's a Dexter Fowler was just like a rescue dog at one point. You knew he was going to find another home.
We all knew this wasn't the forever home for those kids.
Yeah.
For those dogs. They were gone.
No.
And Bo was just fostering them.
I'll watch them, but we're not keeping this many kids.
No.
No.
Not these kids. These kids are troubled kids who can't hit.
No. No. And Bo Sorry, Bo. You know, all we know is that you can't take care of these kids.
No.
Okay.
I mean, no one can take care of these kids.
We don't.
It doesn't matter.
You were the one.
You were captaining that sinking ship.
We're getting good kids in.
That's on your watch,
Bell. We've got some really good kids coming in, and we do not want you screwing us up. We're not taking any chances.
All right, 726 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. We got a lot of stuff to do. Talk about this weekend right now on ESPN. ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He looked good. He looked like he had an extra pep in his step. And obviously, his first game back. But, you know, he did that same spin move and some other moves to, you know, check his body and how it felt. I mean, he looked great, and he made some big-time shots. It was good to see him back on the floor.
James Harden on Chris Paul being back. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I was listening to Dan Orlovsky coming in.
Nice, lucky.
Yep. Well, he was on with Golic and Wingo.
Why are you so hateful?
I'm not hateful. I actually mean that. I feel like you were lucky.
No, didn't sound like that.
Well, I don't know how it sounds, but that's what it...
The guys were making the case that Belichick's so smart, he's going to take away your biggest weapon, right?
Right. He always tries to do that.
Their biggest weapon is the running game. Is Gurley, right? Although... What the hell? After last game, you're like, I'm not sure. What's the Rams' biggest weapon? It's got to be Gurley.
Yeah, it's well, you have to assume it's Gurley.
It's still Gurley.
Yeah.
Right? So if they take away Gurley, can they beat you? Is the game plan going to be let Jared Goff beat us? Because last year it was let Nick Foles beat us, and guess what? Nick Foles threw for 9,000 yards and was
here's the thing,
MVP.
Though. I don't know that you want to tempt fate. You don't have a very good secondary.
Who doesn't?
Well, New England.
New England has the best, I think, the best corner in football.
You have a corner, and the rest of it's not that great with coverage. You just had the same corner last year when Nick Foles went to work on you.
Yeah. But I think, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I think Stephon Gilmore played awesome. I thought he was much better this year than he was last year. That said, you know, the other three guys aren't great. I agree with you. But Stephon is. I think he can take one guy away. I think he can take if you put him on Woods all day and say Woods, you're not going to beat us because Stephon Gilmore is on you. I think he can take Woods away.
I think I would rather. I'm to the point now where I would rather have Todd Gurley trying to beat me. I think. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just don't think of the Rams that way right now. If Cooper Kupp were there, it makes them a lot more dynamic. I'm not sure that there's any one way that the Rams are beating you right now. I would say, based on the last couple of games, I do think you do want to make sure that Anderson and Gurley don't get going.
Because
so I'd rather Goff beat.
Well, and that is the deal. I mean, Goff's numbers, especially down the stretch when they run the ball, were so much better. However, he showed that even without a running game, like last week against the Saints, he got the job done. So that's a little bit scary. But the fact of the matter is you want to take Gurley away. You don't want Gurley beating you.
No.
Yeah. So they take Gurley away. But do the Rams, they say the Rams may be the best fit because if you're a one-dimensional team, Bill Belichick will take that away. Agreed that the Rams can still move the ball if they take Gurley away. The Rams can still be effective offensively with Cooks and Woods and Higbee.
Well, I think so based on the way Anderson ran the ball. In the postseason, but I don't know that you can beat. Here's the difference: Tom Brady is healthier with that leg. Gronk showed signs of life in the last matchup, and I think Sony Michel obviously has changed. It's not like the Rams are great run stoppers.
No,
they're not. They've had issues stopping the run, and Sony Michel gives them. You know, you got a matchup guy in James White. Sony Michel gives you a banger. I'm not sure that I'm not sure that the Rams, if this turns into Tom Brady versus Jared Goff, I'm not sure I love that for the Rams. Because Jared Goff's never really has never been on this stage. And I wonder if the stage is too big for Jared Goff.
Well,
I really do.
You know, Nick Foles against Tom Brady. Brady threw for 505 last year. Threw for 505 and lost to Nick Foles.
Yeah, but that has more to do with the defenses.
Yeah, right. Well, let's see if this defense could. And you know, watching this Patriots team all year, this defense wasn't good.
I felt like that was, and you know, maybe it is. Sean McVay is right up there with Doug Peterson, I guess, maybe. Because it felt like Peterson, through Foles, was putting some magic in with play calls and having. I mean, Nick made the throws. That's great. But the Philly special was a Doug Peterson call that really added some energy. I don't know. This is, for me, I haven't felt like New England is one of the top four or five teams in the league at all for most of the season. And all of a sudden, Tom Brady, you know, I find out that he had a leg injury that was preventing him from really stepping into throws and all that. And now it's better. And sure enough, he's more accurate. He's making throws. Now, you got to remember, it's not like he was surgical against the Chiefs. He had a ton of third down conversions. It's not like it was always great on first and second downs. So it's not. We're still not watching the old Tom Brady, and some of that has to do with the fact that we don't have the old Gronk. I believe that Tom Brady his success is directly tied to Rob Gronkowski. Gronk was a lot better last game, so Tom Brady was a lot better last game. When Gronk's been down, Tom Brady has been down. I just think they're directly tied to each other, and Gronk's health is going to be major in this one. Chris Hogan, we haven't seen. You know, Josh Gordon's done. Chris Hogan is not much of a factor at all. It's become Sony Michel and the other two guys, and then James White, depending on how, you know, Tom Brady can always get something out of one of his. Rex Burkhead might do something for you. So I just have right now, I've been fading New England the entire year, and now we're at the last game, and I'm like, man, I just don't know if I want to fade. It feels like they're on an uptick, and you're catching New England at the front end of their uptick. And if that's the case, they know how to win these games. And I'm not sure Jared Goff knows how to win these games.
And the Rams, at least in the regular season, were not good at stopping the run. And all of a sudden, the Patriots can run the football.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yep. I mean, they couldn't stop the run at all. And Sony Michel is a straight down the pipe north and south runner. And we saw in the last game, Bill Belichick is not afraid. If that's your weakness, he's not afraid to line Tom Brady up under center and say, let's just go get it. Let's go hat on hat and see what happens.
I was just reading a story. It was out a while ago, but I just read it about Brandon Cooks. That third down play before the game-winning field goal in overtime?
Yeah.
It was a bubble screen out to Cooks. He was 4 yards deep, and Marshawn was on him. Lattimore was on him, and he intentionally just dropped the ball because they would have lost 4 yards. Would have been at a longer field goal.
Yeah.
And
smart.
For that Zuerlein guy. And, you know, that's just smart football. That's just good smart football.
Legatron!
Turns out, I don't know if that would have dissuaded Sean McVay from attempting the kick, but he would have made that from 70. That particular kick he would have made from 70.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at over 60 yards, he may not have attempted the kick.
Absolutely.
Man, I was at Senior Bowl practice. I was watching. It's like Cole Tracy was terrible on day one. And then Austin Siebert, the Oklahoma kicker, kick from 54. I was right under the goal, and it was like that ball, it flew into the stands. It would have been good from 65 yards. It was a blast. And you know, he's the punter, kickoff guy, field goal kicker. He does all of that stuff. There's a little bit of wind there, but those kickers, I just look at kicking differently, a little differently now. Not a lot, but just to see the issues with different kickers over the last two or three years come playoff time.
Huge.
It's just so – I actually feel good about the Texans kicker. And I know there's some people who don't. But for some reason, I just feel okay about Kai Fairbairn. If the Texans move forward and get into the playoffs and make some things happen, I feel like he will make some big kicks for them.
You guys are tight, huh, Kai?
I like him. I think he's talented. And
I call him
Kaimi.
I know
he had some – No.
I'm respectful. What's this Kai stuff? They're tight, huh?
Apparently they're
UCLA,
friends.
UCLA, he was Kai Fairbairn.
But he is now a professional.
Put some respect
on. Kaimi.
Well, yeah. Y'all, and you guys are shortening that, too.
Mm. Well, go ahead and say his whole name.
No, I think that's disrespectful.
Kaima Lululalo or something. Let's get Shannon in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm a little bit disappointed this morning. You guys are supposed to be thorough and very informative. I have no idea what Dale's father would say to him for missing this for you guys. But when you said you were asking what's the Rams' biggest weapon.
Officials,
not one of y'all said the ref. Not one of y'all.
I knew it.
And Dale's dad would just be so dejected. I don't know what he would say to him for missing that point right there. It's been a week. We're still in mourning. Man, I don't know what to say about you guys. You disappointed me this morning. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, welcome to the club.
Are you a
puppet? We disappoint people on a... No, I'm not a puppet.
Are you going to let him pull you? No, put I'm not going to pull your butt?
I'm not an Alabama fan. Mm-hmm. Now, he might be an LSU fan.
Probably LSU is. Fan came, stuck his spike in my booty.
But are you that Alabama fan?
I'm not an Alabama fan.
In a booty.
I love the Alabama fan. The other video came out. And then I slapped him across his face. Like, I never saw that. Well, this is the thing that you did. They didn't catch that on tape. I turned and slapped them.
Well, if you had a daughter. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Just not right.
Such a bad look.
Did you see the NFL's look at four? Now, the latest is four.
This won't end.
L.A. officials were in that game.
How do you know that? Did Frankie send you a text with a story?
No, Frankie. This wasn't Frankie.
Your daughter has turned into the biggest
conspiracy
there is ever.
I mean, she can't sleep at night because the Saints aren't in this game.
She's watched one game.
I know. She's never been to one.
I had to teach my kids some etiquette. So our new neighbors across the street, we really like them. So it was better than the couple that was there before, an older couple where the man, I think he started going through some like he was older and I think he was maybe not as there mentally as he had been. Because we've been in that house since 2006. Back in about 2015, he started just staring out of the window at the kids if they would play. And it, like, ominously and menacingly.
Like that guy.
If you just went out to your car, if he heard a noise outside, he would go and immediately just start looking. And it was scary. On the other side
of Herbert my house. Like Herbert on Family Guy?
I don't watch Family Guy, but probably.
Del, was you think that was?
I hope his neighbor's not like Herbert.
No, that's probably the creepy one.
Yeah, the real.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
No,
get your fat ass over here.
No, that's just not. He is not like that. The guy never spoke to us ever. Oh. But they're from New Orleans. The mom is from New Orleans for sure. I think they may have lived there for a while. She's from like uptown New Orleans. She's in New Orleans, New Orleans. And their son Taylor, who's 12, like the whole family are Saints fans, right? So when the Saints got beat by the Rams in the fashion that they did, my kids are like, we want to go over and ask Taylor to play. I'm like, no, uh-uh. Mm-mm. You don't get to go over there. I don't know how that family deals with these kind of losses. It wouldn't be good at our house. So I'm just telling you now. Oh, well, the kids would bounce. My kids would bounce back, except Snacks. He would take it too hard. But like I said, we're not going over to a Saints family's house to see if they can play right after the Saints had the Super Bowl. And the son, the 12-year-old, is a big Saints fan. And that's the age group. That's about the age where you really start to take things hard.
Yes.
I'm like, y'all don't get to go over there. You're not going to get to go over there because it might not be great at that house.
Yeah.
You got to give it a
No, day. It's younger than that. You know that. Your kids.
Well, mine, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you start to conceptualize different. Like, you really start to understand the game, too. And, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can be or younger than that. Right.
I remember in 2005 when the Astros lost, the JT was inconsolable.
How old was he?
He was 8.
I
didn't want him to lose to the Cardinals.
Yeah, it can happen early.
Yeah, and that was...
My daughter started crying when she was 4 because Josh Smith was missing free throws against... Do you remember the game against the Spurs where the Rockets had him beat? And they kept hacking Josh Smith and sent him to the line, and he kept bricking free throws. And my sons were screaming at the TV and screaming at Josh Smith and, get him out! Get him out! And my daughter just started crying because she felt so bad for him. Like, it's a hard game! James! And she calls him James Smith. That's her favorite player. Who in the world picks Josh Smith as a favorite player? That's got to be the worst favorite player in the world.
Probably learned from you.
Yeah.
You picked the ones as your favorite player.
At least he doesn't have a cocaine habit. All right.
Weird ones.
744 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call. The HRNP listener line. Just call in. Whatever you want to talk about. It's pretty much, this is a vacation week. You know, we're not in Atlanta, so you're not going to get all of those interviews where everybody is hawking something. Everybody's trying to sell. But, you know, I don't know, some Gold Bond medicated cream or some kind of make sure that you get your colonoscopy or make sure or some ED medicine, because we already got ours, forhims.com/John5. We don't need any ED medicine from anybody, any NFL player. Speaking of which, there was a couple of stories. Joe Montana was here on Friday night. We went to the Gridiron, the Lombardi Gridiron dinner. Uh-huh. Sean Pendergast emceed it. It was a Wallace Marsh deal. Bob Stoops was honored. So we got to see Stoops allegedly is in line for an XFL job. He was here with us Friday night and Saturday. He played in the All for ALS tournament.
Oh, did he? I thought he's done coaching.
Well, I asked him about it. He said the first year was tough.
I think they view that as
he said it's getting easier now.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is. It's hard, but I think they also view that like my dad would coach in the XFL because I think he not or XFL or AAF.
XFL.
Well, I think they view that as it's not really the same. Like,
yeah.
It's not all the same things that go into it.
Shorter season. Time-wise.
Not the grind. Yeah. There's no recruiting. Like, he may look at that as being able, like, coaching light. He gets a coach, but really, he didn't have all the other hassles.
Really would be. He looks good. Looks like he's in great shape. And he said it was really, really hard the first year, he said, but it's getting easier now. His son is playing over at OU. Now he's a slot receiver. So he gets to watch him and enjoy that. But, Joe Montana was there as well. And apparently Joe has put in $75 million into marijuana.
$75 million. Joe didn't play in the era of making $75 million.
Apparently, those Skechers are selling. Okay, yeah, those Skechers are selling. So, I know. Where did you get $75 million?
Yeah, that million? Or he's been in the marijuana game longer than you think.
Whoa!
Get on his.
You don't know nothing weeds. About that. Why?
What about the show Weeds?
Apparently, this is the story that was out this morning that Joe Montana. It's on
he's
Yahoo
in the weed
too.
Game?
He's in the weed game. So I was like, Joe, he was with, and Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana, all hanging out we were at the Post Oak. That's where the event was, and went up to the bar up there and it was a lot of fun, apparently now, yeah, Stoops, I didn't get any indication. Bob Stoops came the next day and he played in the All In for ALS poker tournament, which was pretty cool. He sat next to Yanni and Yanni took all of his money and he had to leave. I don't believe you're right about XFL and we're going to have, Oliver Luck in studio with us next week here to talk about it. It's gotta be a lot easier than college or pro or NFL.
If the XFL would come to me and say, would you do some personnel stuff with us? I would say
yes,
100%. Well, you'd have to leave NFL stuff. I'll say, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. What's the payday? They go, no, it's an unpaid job.
Mm.
I got to turn it down.
No, of course you would turn it down. I just think that, yeah, it would probably be, because they give you all the players, right?
Well, or
just
do it. XFL guys were at the senior, I saw Optimum
they
Scouting,
were?
Eric Galco and those guys who handle a lot of the scouting stuff for the XFL, they were... Because they wanted me to be a consultant, but I couldn't do it with the NFL tie. But, they were at the Senior Bowl. They were at the Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl. They're looking at players. The CFL goes to the Shrine Game, and it's so sad. Because the Winnipeg, Blue Bombers or the Jets or whatever, and the Edmonton Eskimos, like, there will be about... 5 or 6 CFL teams there at the Shrine Game. And when they go talk to players, it's got to be one of these things where players are like, 49ers are talking, and there's Arizona Cardinals. And then one guy's like,
the Blue Bombers are back.
Oh, God. Hey, I'm Rich with the Eskimos. Like, oh, is that that bad? You weren't good. So, what do you think about cold weather? That's a question you can't like.
You like playing the cold?
It's like vultures. And it's not those guys' faults. But I was sitting next to, you know, there was a coach named Paul Boudreaux, really good offensive line coach for the Saints for years and years. And my dad, no, his son said, are you Lance Early, are you Larry's son? Said, yeah. He goes, hey, I'm something Boudreaux. I'm Paul Boudreaux's son. I said, oh, how you doing? Is it this? We're just having lunch at the counter of some place. And I said, oh, who are you with? He goes, I'm with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or something like that. He goes, I used to be with, you know, he told me the NFL teams he had been with. He goes, I've been there for 3 years handling special teams. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I said, what's it like? He goes, well, he said, you know, it was minus 24 degrees there last week. He said, it's 14 today, and that's kind of warm, honestly, for right now. And I said, how do you do that? He goes, it's not easy.
Not well.
He said, it's not easy. And all I could think of was every single time at the Shrine game or the NFLPA game, which are the lesser bowl games, when those guys just see the CFL guy shuffle over to them, like, that's got to be their sign that they are not good enough. No. You are not good enough.
Oh, my God.
No, like,
it's like, oh my it's God. Like you're sitting there at the dance. And that girl comes over.
She asks
and
you.
And she
dance.
Asks you in your life.
A straight four.
Oh, really?
Do you? As soon as you see him coming, you start trying to walk over the other way.
Oh,
and they keep following.
Really?
Excuse me.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. What's up?
God, I think. Wow.
And nobody's talking to you at all. Oh. Like you're waiting for.
Yeah.
Where's the Texans?
Wait a minute. Hey, where's that hot girl?
Where are the Ravens? Nobody. And then three CFL scouts come and step up to you right at the same time. You've got to be like,
it's the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, no, you want me to go. But wait, I'm not sure I can go with you yet because I'm waiting over here for her.
You know what? Let me check. I'm not sure if I can talk to you right now. What are you talking about? The practice is over.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but I may have something I have to do real
quick.
Let me check on something. And they're like, well, God. And you know, they probably all know that already. And they're like, well, I mean, you can wait us out if you want to, but if you want to play football, you don't really have any choices.
Yep.
Well, just let me wait and see what happens with XFL next week, okay? XFL's not talking to you, bro. What? It's just Canada or nothing.
Mm-mm. Oh.
All right. Wow. What do you want to know? Where'd you play your college ball? Where are you from? You're from Central Florida, right? Yeah. What's the coldest weather you've ever experienced? High 50s? Oh.
Well,
never mind. Well, they got to just go talk to North Dakota State players.
How about something new? How about something you never tried before? Yeah. All right, 756, ESPN 97.5. A bunch of people are on Team No Radio Row.
What do you mean? People don't like it.
People don't like this week.
People don't like it.
So we're the alternative this week for you. If you're looking for something different, if you're looking for something the same as always, you got us this week right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'll tell you something that's not the same, and it's Robbins Brothers Jewelers. And you know it's not the same from the moment you set foot in the store. This is unbelievable. And I've been in different jewelry stores at different times in my life, probably like six or seven of them. Just, you know, either I've spoken for some or I've been in there looking for different things. And when it comes to engagement rings, this is unlike anything I've ever seen. When you walk in, you know it's different than your average jewelry store. You know it right off the bat because they've got 30 cases of engagement rings with thousands of rings and settings to choose from. Let me say that again. 30 cases. I've never heard of anything like that or seen anything like that in my life. But you know, if you're shopping for a car, you want a huge selection. If you're shopping for a house, you want to go see a lot of different houses. It's the same thing with an engagement ring. And like with anything else, there are different rings and different settings and different cuts of diamonds for different types of budgets. And they've got you covered. What sets Robbins Brothers apart is they are the engagement ring specialist. This is what they do. And they have They have more designers and styles than any other jewelry store. So you're going to find the ring that's perfect for her. And that's what you're looking for, the ring that's perfect for her. Every engagement ring should be presented in a romantic, personal way. So they also have concierges that can help you plan. And this is part of the service they offer when you buy the ring. They can help you plan your engagement or your proposal, rather. From whether it's something big and splashy or something romantic and small, let Robbins Brothers help you. For anniversaries, for birthdays, they are perfect. And if you want to upgrade that diamond ring that you gave her 10, 20, 30 years ago, they can help you upgrade as well. Stop by one of their two Houston locations today and see why Robbins Brothers has earned the title the Engagement Ring Store. They got a location in Houston and Clear Lake, or Houston right there at the Loop. They're always online for more information or to find the location nearest you. Online at RobbinsBrothers.com.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.